Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Hello, I'm Monica Reinagle, and you're listening to the Nutrition Diva podcast. Thanks for listening today. If you have excess body weight, the standard advice is to eat less and move more. Of course, we all know this is easier said than done. For one thing, it takes a lot of work to change deeply ingrained habits and behavior patterns. It's hard to move more when our workplaces are designed for sitting and our neighborhoods are designed for driving. It's hard to eat less when you're constantly surrounded by hyperpalatable food. And it's also challenging to eat less when you've learned to use food to cope with stress or soothe your emotions. Now, these are all issues that a good behavior modification program can help you with. But it's also really hard to eat less when your brain is sending you the wrong signals about whether you've had enough to eat. Hunger, which is the urge to eat or seek food, and satiation, that feeling that you're full and you don't want more food, are both regulated in the hypothalamus. This is the most primitive part of the brain. The hypothalamus responds to hormonal signals being sent from different organs all over your body via various chemical messengers. And when this system is working as it should, our hunger increases when our body needs energy and decreases when it doesn't. And the result is a stable body weight. But sometimes that system goes awry. Dr. Gabriel Smolarz is an endocrinologist specializing in the treatment of obesity. And here's how he explains it.
And the hypothalamus is receiving all of these different inputs and essentially processing the situation to then say, you know, should we eat? Should we not eat? Should we stop eating? Should we seek food, etc.? We conclude that there's dysregulation when the system actually, the gas tank is full, but yet the signaling at the level of the hypothalamus is indicating an empty tank.
If your brain is receiving the wrong signals about whether or not you need food, this is obviously going to make it much more difficult for you to eat less. Dysregulation of appetite signals can be due to genetics, similar to the way that you might inherit a dysfunction in your body's ability to regulate your cholesterol levels or your blood pressure. And this may be at least one of the reasons that obesity, like high cholesterol, runs in families. Of course, our genetics haven't changed much in the last 100 years, while the incidence of obesity has skyrocketed. But genes are not always destiny. Sometimes they need an environmental trigger in order to unfold. And what's changed in the last 100 years is not our genetics, but the environmental triggers we're exposed to. We are more sedentary than previous generations, and at the same time, our food supply has gotten cheaper, more convenient, and it's processed in ways that make it much more tempting. The combination of dysregulated appetite signals with cheap and abundant, high-calorie, hyper-palatable food is clearly a recipe for disaster. This situation can be compounded by something referred to as metabolic adaptation, in which the body responds to caloric restriction or weight loss by burning fewer calories and amping up the urge to eat. Here's Dr. Smolarz again.
If you are fortunate enough to achieve a meaningful weight loss after a period of time, first of all, congratulations. It's not easy, but it's also really hard to now keep that weight off, because the body wants to push the weight back to where you started from. It's basically the body saying, oh no, this is not good. We got to get back up to the weight where we were. Higher weight is better, safer, more conducive to reproduction and survival, et cetera. The hormone signals that control energy intake, one being ghrelin, which is that hunger hormone, the one that makes you eat, and then some of the satiety hormones that induce satiety and feeling full and meal termination, being done with eating, those go down in this scenario. Ghrelin goes up in this scenario. And you can imagine the net effect of that is increased eating. So after the weight loss, you're hungrier than you were before. And that's because of this hormonal part of metabolic adaptation. And then the second half of this story has to do with actually how much energy do you burn at rest? The body says, we're going to now conserve as many calories as we can by burning less. So if it took you 100 calories to walk around the block, your body says, well, we can now do this in 80 calories. And so you've increased your efficiency. If you want to continue to lose weight, you actually need to consume even less than what you did just a few weeks ago, because now your basal metabolic rate or your resting energy expenditure is even lower than where it was before.
One of the reasons that I advocate a slower pace of weight loss than is commonly prescribed is in order to minimize this unwanted metabolic adaptation. However, those with a long history of crash or yo-yo dieting may have lasting effects that make weight loss increasingly difficult. So while it is true that if you eat less, you will lose weight, it is not an even playing field. One person might be able to lose a couple of pounds just by cutting out a dessert here and there and taking a walk after dinner every night. But some people have to eat a lot less or go around feeling hungry all the time just in order to lose a couple of pounds or even just to maintain a lower body weight. So is there any way to fix this appetite dysregulation? There are a variety of medications that work in the hypothalamus to regulate appetite signals in a variety of ways. And for those suffering from a dysregulation of appetite signals, where those hunger signals are out of sync with what their bodies actually need, these medications can make it easier to eat less and then to lose weight. Several drugs have been approved by the FDA for the treatment of obesity, and some of these are similar to drugs that have been approved for the treatment of other conditions, such as type 2 diabetes, but have been found in clinical trials to be effective in the treatment of obesity as well. And remember that type 2 diabetes and obesity are two conditions that frequently occur together. In the past few months in particular, there's been a lot of buzz about a type 2 diabetes drug called semaglutide, which appears to be even more effective at promoting weight loss than some of the drugs that have been approved to treat obesity. In the most recent of these studies, participants received intensive behavioral counseling along with a weekly injection of semaglutide or a placebo. And those receiving the behavioral counseling and the placebo succeeded in losing an average of 5% of their body weight, which is no small accomplishment. However, those who combined intensive behavior modification with the medication lost over 15% on average. And just a disclosure here, that in addition to his work as a clinician and on the clinical teaching faculty of Rutgers Medical School, Dr. Smolarz also serves as the medical director for Novo Nordisk, and that's the company that developed semaglutide. When you consider the prevalence of obesity and its enormous costs to both individuals and society, you might think that these drugs would be more widely used. I mean, consider, if a person develops high blood pressure or high cholesterol or high blood sugar, their doctor will probably first suggest that they make some changes to their diet and get more exercise. And for some people, those lifestyle changes are sufficient to solve the problem. But for others, and often it's those with a genetic predisposition, for them, even the most diligent efforts with diet and lifestyle don't fix it. And at that point, the doctor will likely prescribe for them a medication to help modulate whatever aspect of their metabolism is out of whack. Similarly, when a person has excess body weight, their doctor, if they mention it at all, will probably suggest that they eat less and move more. But if they are unable to get their weight down, rarely are medications ever discussed.
Ask Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off Duration and SuperDeck products May 17th through the 20th. That means 30% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And of course, get 30% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
As pharmacist and obesity advocate Ted Kyle points out, 88% of people who have type 2 diabetes are prescribed some sort of medication to help them manage their blood sugar. And yet, anti-obesity medications are prescribed to only 3% of those with obesity, and that number has doubled in the last 10 years. I asked Dr. Smolarz why he thinks this is.
I went to an allopathic medical school. I went to a mainstream internal medicine residency program. I went to a mainstream endocrinology fellowship. Pretty much obesity as a disease itself was not part of any curriculum. It was not taught. This whole dysregulation of appetite regulation. And so it's not taught. As you said, obesity is the most prevalent non-communicable disease on the planet. And, you know, there are times where we learn more about bioterrorism and how to use potassium iodide than how to use medicines in this regard.
Now, not everyone who needs to lose weight needs an anti-obesity medication, of course. Dr. Smolarz describes how he evaluates patients who are seeking treatment for obesity.
You want to look for secondary causes of extra weight first. Are there other medicines that the person is taking that promote weight gain? And so look at the medication list, see if you can swap things out, if there, you know, there are things you can alter or change. And all kinds of things like that. So we look at that carefully. There's also underlying medical condition, an underlying disease that could be causing this. An example of this could be they have a thyroid problem and that's causing their weight gain. Yes, that can contribute to weight gain and be a cause of an inability to lose weight. So that's something we would check for, but it could be other hormones as well. And then there are other things like, is this person perhaps a binge eater or an emotional eater or a traumatic eater? Are there other reasons there that are going on that I have to address those things? Maybe it's a sleep problem because sleep is incredibly important as well.
In addition to treating any underlying medical conditions that may be contributing to the problem, the first line of treatment is still to modify the diet, increase physical activity, and address behaviors that may be leading to overeating. But that's not where the treatment always ends. Here's Dr. Smolarz.
There is no blood test that I can say, you have an appetite signaling problem. I wish there was something like that. You cross things off the list and then you say, well, it's not this, it's not that. Okay, I'm left with this. And so let's approach that. The first part of the treatment approach is to ensure optimal nutrition, increasing physical activity. And then the third part being behavior modification. Once a good, solid quality attempt using those three levers is unsuccessful, that's when I say someone is a candidate for medications when those three elements have been tried or being currently tried, but the end result is we're not seeing weight come off.
However, even if appetite signals are out of whack, medication alone won't solve the problem. Nutrition, physical activity, and behavior modification still need to be part of the program.
Medications are adjunct after those three things. I often say the medications are enabling those fundamentals to be even more successful. The medicines enable you to be able to tolerate the reduced caloric intake. So it's one thing to say, yes, Monica, you need to eat more salad. In fact, have salad twice a day. You may be very hungry at that two salads with a 1,200 calorie a day or 1,500 calorie a day. The medicines then, as appetite suppressants, make that feasible.
Like all medications, the drugs used to treat obesity have a risk of side effects, and patients and doctors need to weigh the costs and the benefits of the various medication options and select the one that's the best match for their situation. And perhaps this is another reason that family doctors are reluctant to prescribe anti-obesity medications. Here's Dr. Smolarz.
All the drugs work a little bit differently, so it's a bit of a challenge to master it all. And then the last piece is fundamental misunderstanding of obesity as a disease, of it not being just a failure of willpower, that you know people just need to eat better and they should get a handle on their obesity. That's just not the clinical reality.
If your health is at risk because of excess body weight, and you and your doctor feel that you've run out of solutions, you might consider consulting with a practitioner who's specifically trained in obesity medicine, which, as I hope you see, involves much more than just writing prescriptions or scheduling bariatric surgery. The American Board of Obesity Medicine trains and certifies physicians in various fields in obesity management, and their website includes a directory where you can find diplomates by location. The Obesity Medicine Association is another resource that can help you locate clinicians with specific training in obesity medicine near you. And I've included links to both of those resources in the show notes for today's show, which are at nutritiondiva.quickanddirtytips.com. And if you're looking for the behavior modification part of a sustainable weight loss approach, I'd invite you to check out the program that I run with Brock Armstrong. You'll find more information about that at weighless.life. Thank you for listening today, and I'd love to hear from you with your comments or your questions on today's topic. You can email me at nutrition@quickanddirtytips.com or leave me a voicemail on the Nutrition Diva listener line. That's at 443-961-6206. I always love to hear what's on your mind. Our show today was written by me, Monica Reinagle. It was edited by Karen Hertzberg. Our producer is Nathan Semmes. And our team at Macmillan Audio also includes Emily Miller, Morgan Ratner, Michelle Margulis, our intern Claire Freeman, and our director, Kathy Doyle. Have a good week, and remember to eat something good for me.
Ask Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off Duration and SuperDeck products May 17th through the 20th. That means 30% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And of course, get 30% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.